Our responsive reading has come from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 to 33. And so may I invite you, those of you that have received this link, if you want to join us, please open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 to 33. I've entitled this particular portion of the book of Proverbs chapter 30 with the title, Observations from a Very Wise Observer, of a Very Wise Man. We find here certain things that almost sounds very poetic. For instance, verse 15, the horse leech had two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. And then he delineates the four, the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. And then in verses 18, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of the eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maiden or a maid. Then in verse 21, there are three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat, an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaiden that is heir to her mistress. Then notice verse 25. Again, these are observations from a wise observer. There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise, okay? Little things. Number one, ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. And the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. And I believe that if you've seen different documentaries about locusts, how they come in like a swarm to the point of almost blotting out the light of the sun as they come in to eat. Okay? We also find verse 29. There are three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. One, the lion, which is strongest amongst the beasts. If you ever seen a documentary about Africa, and you see those majestic lions, especially the male with his full mane, gracefully walking and just roaring as king of the beast, and turned it not away for any. The greyhound and the he-goat, and a king against whom there is no rising up. And so you see that this particular person is a very keen observer of the world around him. And then he gets a little bit more personal in this particular portion of his, in his writing. Look at verse 17. He really gets to the heart of the matter. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. That has reference to the eye. I know that in some ancient cultures, when they would punish people, some of the punishments that you hear about from ancient times, and maybe even in our own time, were really gruesome. And have you ever stopped and think that at one time when they would crucify somebody, and without using nails or spikes, if they tied the poor victim to the cross, they could live for several days on the cross before they would eventually expire? But one of the nasty things about that method of crucifixion was you couldn't scratch, you couldn't blow your nose. But when the ravens would come and they would perch themselves on top of the person's forehead, they found the delicacy of eating the eyes of the ones who were on the cross, picking away at the eyes. And again, the poor victim can't shoo the bird away. He's helpless and hopeless, as the raven or whatever it was fancied that fresh meal on that person's body. And so that's the imagery that I see here. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Didn't Jesus have much to say about the eye, the light of the eye, if it be dark? Didn't Jesus say, then everything inside that person must be darkness? Jesus made a reference to the light of the eye. If it be dark, truly there's darkness within. And then notice also verse 20, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth, and then she has the nerve to say, I've done nothing wrong. I've done no wickedness. So here she is eating with her client, sumptuous meals provided by her clientele. They get their enjoyment, and then she gets the benefit of their wealth. And as she's eating her sumptuous meal, probably after doing her business, she enjoys her meal, takes her nice cotton or maybe her silk napkin, wipes her soiled lips, and then says, or has the nerve to say, I've done no wrong. Notice the keen observations of a very wise man. And then finally, we have verses 32 to 33. And I bet some of you have seen verse 33 in total public action. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, so if you exalt yourself with pride and arrogancy, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. This is caution. If somebody is full of pride and arrogancy, and they're about to think evil, and then to translate that evil into action, the writer of Proverbs says it's best to shut your mouth. But then notice verse 33. Notice this. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. You get the image of that little contraption with the stick that's inside that little contraption. And you've seen this maybe on old-fashioned movies, where the person is grabbing hold of that pole or the stick and going in an up and down motion with the contents that's within that little container. And slowly over time, the constant motion will take the milk or whatever that's in there and then turn it into butter. And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. If you grab somebody's nose and you twist and turn it, you're eventually going to get some blood. And then notice the observation of the wise man. So the forcing of wrath, forcing an argument, forcing a strife, bringeth forth strife itself. And I imagine in different church families, over the course of any church's history in its life, there are times and seasons when you have disgruntled individuals that maybe don't like what's going on or what's being said or the music or the ambiance or for whatever reason. And some people go out of their way simply to rattle cages. Paul says the same thing about some of the members of the church at Thessalonica when he called them busybodies, putting their nose where it doesn't belong. Do you remember what Paul told the pastors of that church to tell the people, those busybodies? He basically told them in modern English, shut your mouth, get to work, mind your own business, and buy your own bread. That was Paul's admonishment. You find that in either 1st or 2nd Thessalonians when Paul addresses the busybodies of that church who are going around putting their nose in someone's backyard where it doesn't belong. But for the person within a family or within a church that goes out of their way to upset the status quo or the peace or the unity or the harmony, they're no different than the person who's churning butter or the person who's dumb enough to grab your nose and twist it here and there to draw out blood. So, would you agree with my title? The Observations of a very wise observer of life. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.